Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had 3 jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
Imagine, if you will, a universe where humans are not explorers of the cosmos, but mere exhibits, watched over by beings of unimaginable advancement. Our every move monitored for their scientific curiosity, or perhaps their entertainment. Silent and unseen, these cosmic observers could be lurking just beyond our perception, their eyes fixed on us like patrons at a galactic aquarium. With no signs and no contact, they scrutinize our behaviors, making notes in logbooks we can only dream of deciphering. This sinister yet strangely compelling notion toys with our understanding of our place in the universe and pokes at the pride of our species with a cold, alien finger. Are we alone, or are we an attraction? This case file, join the theorists as we go ape on the weird and wild idea of the Galactic Zoo Hypothesis.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing Case File 344, the Zoo, Galactic Zoo Hypothesis. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
Andrew's dead. Woo.
Andrew's dead. Don.
Yeah, he's dead.
Hey, listen, every now and then, the zoo's got to put down an animal.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what happened here.
Just all happens. Right?
Things are looking bleak, and we have to make cuts from the bottom up. The least senior theorist gets the axe first. And listen, it is what it is, right? Sometimes you got to make those cuts to trim the fat, lean out, right? And so that's it for Andrew.
Yeah, he put on a spare tire and we got rid of him.
Yeah, he was the heartthrob of the show, and he's been really letting himself go.
Big time.
So there's not a chance he could stay on the show. So basically we said, take some time away, figure out whatever's going on in your life that's causing you to be ugly, and
get
fix
your shit
it
together.
And fix it. All right. Because we can't all be ugly. So
no.
You were only here for eye candy.
You were the face.
That was it.
I get,
so
no, is he the face?
Yeah, and now he's the ass. So now it's
okay. Yeah,
fix it, sort it out. So, you know, he's taking some time to see what he can do. Plastic surgery, weight loss, Ozempic.
No, he's doing the BBL. He's getting BBL implants.
BBL, yeah. He's doing some calf implants.
And the ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. We told him, listen, you're right now you're a 3 dressed up as a 9. And until you come back as a hard 9, we don't want you. The Patreoners don't want her. They've let us know by unsubscribing. They've had enough.
And we have had comments on Patreon. There's a exit survey, and that's the main complaint.
And it's ew.
So disgusting.
Andrew, ew. That's the comments. And it's just one of those things. Like, you know, we can see if you follow the trajectory of the show and you watch as Andrew's looks start slipping, Andrew's looks and our Patreon numbers decline at the same trajectory. And so we've been like, okay, we got to stop the loss, stop loss here. Get off here. You're obviously fucking freaking people out. And not in a good way. And not in a way that people want to tune in, because they're like, oh, look at this guy's face. What's going on here? Woof. Yeah. Because this is paid. That's paid to play, right? So people are paying to see that. It's just, it's honestly just, you look and you're like, oh, ugh. I can't watch. I can't support this anymore. I can't support them putting this person on the air, on the internet.
I can't pay for this.
I can't pay for this.
Can't justify paying for this.
Exactly. So, hey, let's hope Andrew can sort it out and come back and boost these numbers. But, you know, if not, there's always the freak show or something. Like, what's the...
Right, we'll sell him to the circus.
Yeah. We'll American losses. Horror Stories. He could work on that. He's got the IMDb, right? He could be an extra on one of those.
Could sell him to Rick Dyer, maybe.
Yeah, he needs all of that, and also has to submit his long-standing report on aliens, in great detail, handwritten.
Yeah,
why he believes they're out there.
Handwritten on 8-inch ruled paper,
cursive
pencil.
Anyways, that brings us to today's topic: the Galactic Zoo Hypothesis. Everyone's had it, you know, everyone's had that thought. Like, you went camping, you kind of just looked up and you're like,
where the fuck are they?
What the fuck, man? Where's everybody else?
Oh, yeah, dude. Who hasn't shot a beam of consciousness out into the fucking universe on a fucking...
You close your eyes.
Oh, yeah. And you're like, I'm sending...
And you're trying to connect with something.
Something out there.
Yeah. Steven Greer makes you pay for it. Move down.
Yeah, you just sign an NDA first.
And it's one of those things, because it's like we've talked about the Fermi paradox, and it's like the universe is what, estimated 14 billion years old.
It keeps getting older. They keep pushing that.
Keep getting older. But like our planet Earth, is what, 4 billion? They estimated that. So it's like,
well, no. If you go with all matter came from a singular point, all matter is the same age.
Okay, Einstein, thanks for that. Okay.
No, but Earth, like the planet.
It's made of the same matter. Okay. Yeah, we're made of the stars.
We're all stardust, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We're billions of years in.
Like our planet is formed 4 billion years, you know, it's housed, you know, two forms of intelligent life in 4 billion years. First, the reptilian and dinosaurs. They escaped
off the planet before asteroid.
They didn't escape. They died. They talked, though.
That Ninja Turtles tells us that Triceratons did escape.
And then us. So you got to think, it's like if we've, you know, developed in that 4 billion time window, well, there's ample time then in 14 billion years for other intelligent life. So where is it, and what's the holdup, and what's going on? Why haven't we seen it? There's no signs. You know, is there a great filter? Is there something we're working our way to, or are we the first? Are we the first people, you know, civilization through the door? What the fuck is going on? And that's kind of the zoo hypothesis is one, you know, that kind of is an answer for that, or at least a theory on what could be going on in the universe.
Yeah, you're talking about the Fermi paradox. We've done an episode on.
Yeah.
Ooh, long
223,
time.
223, baby.
223? You went and looked that up?
Yeah, buddy. I do my research for tonight.
Research by looking at our own podcast.
I actually don't know if that's... I just said a number as quick as I could.
I'm pretty sure that sounds right. Yeah. It could have been... I think it's older than that.
I don't think it's...
But pretty much, the Fermi paradox is... If aliens are everywhere, like, where are they and why haven't we seen them?
Yeah.
If you believe we haven't seen them, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then, so yeah, the galactic zoo hypothesis is pretty much that like highly advanced civilizations are aware of us, far more advanced than our own in terms of like technology, knowledge, maybe even like lifespan, like there might be immortal, you know?
Or, yeah.
Well, it's immortal is like you can't die, and then what's one where you can die, but you'll live forever unless you die?
Talking about, you can be immortal, but not invulnerable. Like you can be...
Right. Okay. So immortal. Okay. Sure. So they could be that, and they just are, they're watching over Earth, kind of like a scientist, you know?
Well, dude, I love that theory. I love it so much because there's the quote that like any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. Because I have no idea. And when you think about this, like in the chain of events, we've talked about that, but like we do this to humans on Earth, right? We do this to other humans. There's humans on Earth that are, there's like a tribe somewhere and they're sitting around a fire, tribes, yeah. Uncontacted, and they're just sitting there and they're just like, could you imagine there's other people? And they're like, we would see other people. We would know, like, shut up. Like, there's one crazy, like, Zell wearing a fucking little bushel skirt. And he's like, I swear there's other people. And they're like, we would see signs of other peoples by now. Right. And he's like, you're saying this whole land is filled with other people? Where are they? And then, like, they see a plane and they're just, oh, what is that? Like, they have no connection that's other people because to them, that is unfathomable. Right. You know, they're like, this doesn't make any sense. There's no way that's us. Right. And we do that to other humans. So, why couldn't, you know, we extrapolate that and be like, there's other civilizations out there that are doing that to Earth. One of the ones that I saw that I really liked with this is that basically these civilizations, these really advanced civilizations, basically just are helping preserve life on individual solar systems. So we're basically this Earth is right now is our cage. You know, ours in the zoo, and the our solar system is like our big playpen, and like we can get so, you know, we can grow, we can move to Mars if we figure out there's puzzles for us. You know what I mean? Can we terraform Mars? Can we terraform these moons? There's the building blocks and the puzzles in this area for us to expand tenfold. But at the end of the day, our biological bodies are not going to be able to go any further than outside of this solar system because we just are not made to traverse the vastness of space. And then that's extrapolated everywhere. Everywhere, every solar system, there is like a life form that these things are basically just observing and watching and seeing how they progress. So I love
that's
that.
That's the zoo. We're the zoo.
Yeah, we're the zoo.
You know, so each I like that. So each solar system being its own enclosure, whatever. So why
it's like a
why
wildlife would, preserve?
Yeah,
why would they come see humans? What makes us so special? What would distinguish us from the other ones? What would make it worth coming to see? Like, you know, you go to the zoo and you're like, hey, I want to go see the tigers. Hey, I want to go to the monkey house. Hey, I want to go to see the elephants. You know, what's going to be like that alien kid who goes on, you know, to the zoo with his parents is going to be like, I want to go see the humans. Like, what do we do that makes them, would make us well, fun so to watch?
I think.
We go to war and blow each other up?
Yeah, 100%. That's not fun. 100%. Dude, 100%.
To them, it might be.
And that's it's an interesting thing. And it's just culture, right? Because like, if you think about becoming this advanced civilization, like there might be a time where, you know, you get into this galactic federation and then there's like an amalgamation and you kind of lose culture. Like you see that on Earth, right? Like in the West, we have an amalgamation of culture and you kind of lose individual cultures and there's different cultures have fallen off and whatever over the course of history. Dan, what are you grooving to here? No, what's going on here?
Listen to music. It's like in the background. Just the music.
You got music in your headphones right now?
A little bit.
Nice.
I was like, what? I was like, Dan's because his shoulders are grooving.
Little glass of whiskey is his bottom.
I think it's the culture aspect of it because like as these civilizations become so advanced and amalgamate, like they probably have like one in my imagination is they have one singular culture. And so these things. These are all like different varieties of one life and like how we interact in social. Like there's an infinite amount of possibilities. And if you think about like Earth alone, like, dude, we have such a microcosm of like of a little of everything in like culture and social economics and how or, like how we just go about like this is we are a fucking the best greasy trashy reality TV show you could possibly the best fucking
reality
get.
Show.
Do you know what I mean? Like there is nothing more fucking we are fucking Jerry Springer in the 90s, baby. Like heyday. That's my thought.
Jerry,
yeah, exactly. Earth, 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 Earth.
On this season of Earth.
Yeah. Like, but that would make the most sense to me. The is that it's these things. It's just the how life, because we're only our perspective is only how life kind of evolves and grows here, but it could look that like so vastly different that we can't even comprehend. On different planets because there's an infinite space. So it's like, this may seem normal to us and like, we're like, yeah, it should kind of go like this, but we could be so fucking like shit we can't even fathom. So it's like, as you go to all these solar systems, it's like, as much as you're like, oh, there's similarities, but there's vast differences that you can't even comprehend. So I imagine it's like for, especially for like an AI that studies or like an advanced super technological civilization, like it's the variety of just studying. It's, you know, just
scientists
observing. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the, like the main theory of the zoo hypothesis is either they found us somehow, like through some type of either radio signal or electromagnetic, or they got the energy from our nuclear explosions and we're just blowing up our planet, just lighting them off like fucking firecrackers. Something drew them here. They got here and they decided that we were nowhere near advanced enough to make contact. So therefore, they just observe. That's like, you know, what's it in Star Trek? The
Prime Directive.
Prime Directive. Like, they're not going to interfere till the species is ready or, like, evolves to the point.
Which like, what was it? Regularly disregarded on just about every other Star Trek episode.
Yeah, pretty much. But
especially the first Kirk one, era. Hey, it's like, it's Captain Kirk was like, Prime Directive? Fuck that. I'm going to make out with this green skin chick. Yeah.
It wasn't when the Federation discovered like a warp drive or whatever, then the Klingon
showed up. Yeah, when Earth first displayed entering into warp so faster than light travel, then they were detected by a Vulcan scout ship, I think.
Whatever. Yeah, something like that.
Well, they were part of the Federation, but like the Federation already existed kind of before we joined it. But like when a culture displays the technological prowess of being like, okay, you can faster than light travel, you detect that warp signature and you're like, okay, they are ready to be contacted because now you've entered into the larger stage.
Well, that, so I mean, that's cool to me. I like that theory in the sense that a lot of, or at least the modern phenomena came after we discovered, like unlocked the atom. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's the signal, like this species is on its way.
Yeah, it's like the first goalpost.
They're like, oh, they have the potential actually to blow up their whole planet. So maybe now we're going to drop in and you're going to start abducting people, really start poking around. Before this, from distance, you know, just observing. Once we start blowing ourselves
up. I feel like it's kind of like, yeah, but if it's like, oh, they can blow up their own planet, but if we make the assumption that you're like, okay, there's enough species out there for us to like comprise of a galactic zoo, it would kind of be like life is like everywhere. So it's like, if they're going to blow themselves up, you're just like, okay, like meh. Like, they're not a threat. We're not a threat to anybody else except ourselves at that point. I think the marker for being like the warp signature stuff, like if you can travel faster than light, you can like reach other planets and they could be like, okay, they could come bother us, maybe we should talk to them.
I got a question, and this might be stupid, might be a high thought here, but like I remember, and this might be not even in the realm of real, but like wasn't there something about like whales or something has like genetic marker of when the atomic bomb blast went off? Was there something like that, or is it just something in the earth? Like there's something that there's a marker or something. I thought there was.
I know. I'm pretty sure I know what you're talking about. It's not whales.
I don't think it's in whales though.
Yeah, I couldn't remember. I'm just, like I said,
it's something. Like, I know what you're talking about, but I can't.
There's something exactly though. There's something that has
no,
like genetic markers. And I was
curious. It's not the mercury. It's like it's the radiation, like that type of like isotope or whatever, like has a certain signature. I know what you're talking about, but I'm pretty sure it's on whales.
On Zell's theory of like them picking up people after the bomb, I wonder, and this is just me just spitballing ideas, is I wonder if like with advanced technology, like if they pick up a human and they look at your fucking genome sequence, they can decipher when our species split the atom because there's a marker basically from the radiation that was released on Earth when we started fucking blowing these things up. But they're like, yeah, everyone now has these fucking genetic markers.
Yeah, you'd have that marker if you're in close to Chernobyl. Some slowly getting poisoned right from birth.
Of course, that's also assuming that like splitting the atom is a natural progression, where it's like maybe fusion technology comes from, or like genetic modification, like you know, advanced genetic modification is a different, like they go a different route, you know, instead of you know building houses out of like stone and stuff, and like how we do artificial stuff, they you know merge with their surroundings and they become more symbiotic with their environments. Like maybe that's a different technology, but yeah, it like could maybe, be just that we're different, like or just the, you know, there are different paths to advancement. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, now coming back to Dan's earlier question, like why us, maybe like our species is on an accelerated path compared to everything else, in the sense that like modern humans, like it's only a couple hundred thousand years, maybe 300,000 years, and all of a sudden boom, we have the nuke. And then all the other species they've witnessed, it's like, you know, hundreds of millions of years. Say this is like a forerunner, you know, a super advanced immortal race of fucking robots that are just have been here forever. And this is the first time they've seen a species like leapfrog like that.
Oh, you like, so like in comparison, it's like, it'd be like someone in the Middle Ages inventing a bazooka. They're just like, well, this doesn't make sense. You leaped and bounded a whole bunch of steps along the way that are normal, and shouldn't have this technology yet. And
like they swung by like 300,000 years ago. They're like, oh, they're walking upright. They're throwing spears.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. And then they thought they'd come back in 300,000 more years. And, you know, we have just discovered how to build wooden structures, like mill wood or something, like something super primitive. they're well advanced. We fucked up. We didn't put in the safeguards. Now these fuckers are gonna get off the planet.
And that's honestly, that point makes sense, because if there was like some sort of race that's like an overseer race, they're so advanced, they're one of the earliest intelligent beings, and they're watching all others, they would basically have data from like all of intelligent life. So they would have like a median of being like, the average is this. So like in another 100,000 years, you know, they should be at X, Y, Z level.
Just from arrowhead to rocket ship should be a million years.
Yeah. Right. And so like, yeah, maybe we're a fucking outlier on certain things, right? Like, and that's an interesting fact for them. It's like, well, how are they doing that? And what are they going to do now that they've harnessed this technology before putting all these safeguards in place before they get to that natural progression? I wonder if like it's something like that. The other thing that I kind of was thinking too is like, if there's a race that's of species out there that's super intelligent, just going on Earth, it has not fared well for other humans when humans from distant lands come and visit, just on a disease standpoint. Like usually the new population gets absolutely decimated, by fucking germs.
You get a foreign, like an invading force. Yeah, there's conflict and war and death and all the bad stuff, but that's such a small percentage of the actual like death toll, like when a new disease is introduced, smallpox,
yeah,
for example. There's like millions and millions of people over like, you know, 50, 100 years, like an entire continent worth of people from disease.
So like like Black Plague was like 1/6 of Europe.
Yeah. So it's like, you got to think that like a race that's, I mean, it's a twofold thing, because you got to think that a race that's that advanced has technology to deal with this kind of issue or something, but at the same time they're like, well, we can't risk contamination on both ends, on both sides, because like we might be filthy fucking creatures.
You dirty know what I mean? Creatures.
Like, yeah. What if we're like
got a little poop finger? Like these guys are covered in feces.
What if we're the free zoo that nobody likes to go to? You know, yeah, we're not the nice one. Like the nice zoo. They're like 100%. You know.
Yeah. Our zoo, half the animals are people dressed in costumes at a distance.
They're donkeys painted as zebras. Like it's just like, yeah, this is a real zebra. Like, no, yeah. that's a donkey you painted.
They would be Russian too.
Yeah.
Alien kids are like, we don't want to go there. Like all they have are mosquitoes. They just talk about politics. Like,
dude, that would be our best. Go ahead, Zell.
I was going to say, it's a good point, though, that so if there's this, say this species is organic and they figure out a way to traverse space without fucking collapsing in on themselves and slowly decaying and dying in space travel. So say they figure out a way, some type of wormhole jumps or something that they could get through space super fast without being affected. The only way you'd really know the biology of the planet, because right now we look through our telescopes and we use the spectrum, like the radio spectrum, and we can decide like what type of elements are on that planet and we kind of make our best guess, but you have no idea what organics are down there, what kind of compounds. You can just get like a sense of the atmosphere and maybe the composition of the planet. So the only way to really get down is you'll be abducting people. And then if you are a similar makeup, maybe they are like a carbon-based life form, which maybe is rare, maybe we're not, but maybe, say they are, then yeah, you come down and you just infect the whole planet. Or you bring someone back, they infect your whole species. You don't really know until you get the DNA, you put it in your CRISPR device, figure out all, like, do the whole DNA strand, all fucking 400 billion lines of code or whatever it is. So you wouldn't know until you got here. That's a huge risk.
Yeah, you wouldn't know what kind of sexually transmitted disease you're going to get.
Still, you start probing.
Still, you start probing. That's such an interesting thought that, like, that is such a barrier. Like, that itself is a great filter because it's like, it makes it insane to, you know the effects of what, like a germ or anything is going to be, or how deadly it's going to be for you, or what you have is going to be deadly for like the native species. So it's like, I wonder how many times, because if you think if the universe is 14 billion years old, how many times have species tried to interact and just fucking met and been like, oh, shake hand, and then just eradicated both each other's species like just through fucking contact disease. They're like, oh no, we're all dead. Like it's an interesting, like it is such a barrier for communication, like to with
cross species plagues.
Yeah, you never think about that, but it's a fucking that's a big problem, huge problem,
big problem.
Yeah, it's like the whole plot turn of War of the Worlds, spoiler alert. Yeah.
Well, that one's stupid because they would have died as soon as they were. They
couldn't handle the water.
They couldn't handle the atmosphere.
No, that's science. That's science. That's like War of the Worlds, the original one. The original.
Oh, yeah, that one. But oh, yeah, they get sick. Yeah.
Yeah, they get sick and die.
Yeah, why'd they get out of the ship? That was their own fault.
Right.
Idiots. Right. No spacesuit. Just raw dog in the earth.
In the air. No apparatus. No breathing apparatus. No,
you just walk out. Like, oh no. You're
already on the planet. You think you could send out a little probe and scan the air and then you can analyze it. Then you would know.
Yeah. They spent all their money on the base for the machine. Before they grind the humans into fucking blood fertilizer.
I do like the evaporating death rays of those.
Which also didn't make sense because I'm like, they also used us for fertilizer. So why were they evaporating us? Because I feel like it would be make more sense to fertilize the land with our blood. Like you think it would have been better for them to just like.
You pull out full fertilizer from the atmosphere, like nitrogen and stuff, and you turn into little pellets.
Yeah, but remember when they
that was
their
whole thing. They were using our blood for something.
They're chewing up the bodies. And then spraying it and then growing their little fucking alien vines. Mm-hmm. But like I think it would have made more sense in that context for them to come out with like fucking meat grinders, and instead of like vaporizing people, they're just like grinding, just splattering blood everywhere. So when they spray their little alien seed that feasts on our blood, you know, that's a good follow-up movie. It's like, what are the humans going to do with this? The alien vines growing everywhere, taking over the planet. That's the second problem we never talk about after. We're like, yeah, we won. Did we? Because those vines seem to be doing fine.
Yeah, they're made perfect for our planet.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah, were they terraforming vines? Like, what were those fucking things?
Yeah, I don't remember. Like, that was their whole, that I think they were like turning it into Mars or whatever.
Hold on. You mean to tell me an advanced civilization came down killing humans and were spraying our blood everywhere to terraform, which meant they knew. They knew the planet wasn't ready for them, and they were getting out of their spaceships. Dude, you had the dumbest, the lowest running those ships.
They had already been here because they fucking buried their spaceships in the ground first, right?
Yeah, and then they had to drop the people down. Yeah, but then their people got out before. That'd be like me going to Mars. Me being on the first flight to Mars and getting to Mars and being like, they're like, all right, boys, we're going to terraform. We're working on terraforming over the next course of the 100 years. We're going to have air. And I'm be like, cool. And then I just like Mars. My eyes start bugging totally out. And I'm like, like that's the equivalent of that. Of like, you like,
yeah, there's a, now we say it, there's some major plot holes in fucking
War of the Worlds. Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit.
Never thought about it like that.
No, that brings us to another point, actually. War of the Worlds, when the original radio broadcast was done and people were like freaking out and jumping out of the windows and shit, whatever they're doing.
Yep.
That's like another, I guess you could say that's another reason why we would be a zoo. Like, we're not ready. You know, humanity's not ready for that we're not alone. Maybe for religious reasons or whatever it is. They just know if they showed up on the White House lawn, got out, and shook the president's hand, that half the world would pretty much collapse. So not ready for it.
Or that's their way of being like every now and then they dangle it. It makes the exhibit like interactive. Like they dangle little pieces. Like they dangle little pieces after us, you know. And then they get us all worked up, you know, like they do with, you know, some animals, like, you know, like alligators. They throw the chicken, the feeding time. Yeah, the feeding time. You throw the chickens out there, whatever, get them to come out and get them all riled up, and you're like, eh.
All right, Dan, we'll just drop them a couple ships. See what they do. See what they do with them.
Yeah. Just like
we know some people are going to be onto us and they're going to know we're real, but no one's going to believe them.
We'll throw a couple orbs out there, you know, whatever, and then watch them go wild.
We'll fly some drones. A couple drones. No big deal. No one will know.
And I think that's just human nature too, of like, if something were to show itself, or we know, like right away human nature goes to like, one, we shoot it, we go on the attack. We're like, just naturally, like, if you objectively, we're a very aggressive species. The other thing is like, if something traversed the stars and came and like showed itself, we would instantly know that like we're at its will. So we would be like, we're like Batman. We're like, where's its weakness? Can we beat it? What can we do? Like, you know what I mean? Like we're looking immediately for how can we fight back if needed, like that. We're like Batman trying to make all sorts of plans at all times.
Thinking three steps ahead.
Give us enough prep time. Like,
So it's an interesting thought, because like, if something shows up tomorrow, and the crazy thing is like, it could show up and like be peaceful. Right. And like, you know, be trying to communicate with us.
We bring you love.
Yeah. But then the other problem is like, we know nothing about this other species. And it's like one of these things where it's like, you know, the scariest thing is like, I always kind of extrapolate what's happened on Earth into the universe. And it's like, imagine you have a spacefaring like fucking Genghis Kong, or like a religious crusade across the universe, like we've seen on Earth, right? Where these people come and they're like, yes. And then they see a sign and they're like, you know what? Our God doesn't favor you. And it's our job to rid the universe of you. You know, like, those are possibilities, because like, that's happened on Earth. So I'd say that like those same scenarios in an infinite expanding universe could play out the same at a galactic scale. So it's like you just galactic never know. Cults. Yeah, galactic cults of like religious zealots, right? Of like you're going to worship our religion because it's the one true religion, and if not, you're dead. And that's it. And then you join our crusade to...
This sounds a lot like my elementary school years.
Yeah, but that it's, I mean, like, you got to think that, like, man, we don't know. Like, there could be conquerors out there. There's so much. But I guess if it's a zoo hypothesis, it's like, the zoo hypothesis is that everything's contained. So there's, like, an overarching race that would kind of keep things in check.
Yeah. So that the zoo hypothesis works on the under the assumption that there is some type of either like there is a some sort of legal body, legal governing body that is able to enforce the rules of being like no contact.
It's smacking species. Signals from other species of interacting with each other. It's like, no, monkeys, you cannot talk to the tigers. Like, stop. They just smack like it's just smack intercepting the signals. But like it's like, dude, isn't there like our universe, like our solar system, isn't there like a heat belt on the like exterior of the solar system where like it gets immensely hot again, where like the heat from the sun kind of like recollects before it dissipates?
Outside of the solar system is the Oort cloud, right?
It's a good cloud. Which is
vast nothingness.
It's a vacuum. It's also a vacuum.
But there might be like a I don't know about heat, but there might be some type of like amalgamation of like cosmic radiation or something that gets like turned in there. He's searching it real quick. He's going to let us know.
Yeah. I don't know. I read that there's like some sort of fucking belt that's like where the heat kind of like collects before it dissipates further.
Well, the heat at that point, when you get that far, energy from the sun is almost zero at that point, right? It's a twinkling star when you're that far up. Like you're so far out, you almost like you wouldn't be able to tell really the difference between our sun and like the next sun, which is still like light years away.
I guess so, yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if there's some like weird, like due to gravity, some like radiation belt between because there's like a bubble, and that bubble eventually will meet the bubble of another solar system, roughly like light years out. Maybe there's something there. We'll get my good buddy Neil deGrasse Tyson on the phone.
Yeah. I'm thinking the Van Allen, Van Allen radiation belt.
That's our planet, though.
Is it? No.
Those are the belts. That is why we never went to the moon, because the radiation at the Van Allen belts is too strong for the shielding of the shuttle, and the people would be cooked inside, melted, if you will, from the inside out, like a microwave. And that's why we never went to the moon. And that's why the Earth is flat.
Yeah. Look at the picture. Connected.
Three theories at
Someone's
once.
Brayton's got the photo right there. That's from space.
Yeah, those belts are one of the big reasons why people say that we didn't go to the moon. Even though there is some pretty good explanations of how you could minimize your time in the belts, and with shielding, you probably would be fine. But yeah. I don't know. I'm not an expert.
Yeah. It's a lot of math.
Once I get past one times one is two. I don't know anything anymore. Yeah. So
one times one is two. Nice.
Whatever happened to Terrence Howard?
He's been silent.
Theory of everything yet?
He finished it and he turned into pure energy and has ascended. He
just evaporated. Yeah. It's gone.
He was actually a fucking another species coming to try to, you guys made a fatal flaw early on. I'm trying to correct the course.
You'd be galactic civilization by now, but you had to go with that one times one, you know?
One times one does not equal one. That's stupid.
It is two. Sir, that's one plus one. No, it's not. All right? It can't be. Anyways, that was fun. Okay, we're going to take a quick beer break. We got a few more theories to rip through.
Yeah.
We're going to be right back.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log in to your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had 3 jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
Over the past 75 years, more than 10,000 chemicals have entered our food supply. But the EU allows just 300 additives. At Thrive Market, we prioritize quality, banning over 1,000 ingredients found in conventional grocery stores. Our Healthy Swap scanner helps you find better versions of your pantry essentials without the junk, dyes, or fillers. And everything is delivered right to your doorstep. So shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health at thrivemarket.com/get started for 30% off your first order and a free $60 gift.
Do the zoo. Yeah, you think aliens come to visit to try the new seasonal flavors of Mountain Dew? Yeah. Do you think they come to some new flavors of Mountain Dew?
Okay.
I couldn't think of any better reasons.
That's an interesting, because if you're thinking about like universe wide cuisine, right? Would be what? So
cuisine. Like, wait, can you say what?
Cuisine again?
No, I'm sorry, what?
Cuisine?
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 How do you say it?
Cuisine?
Cuisine? That's what I said. Cuisine.
This is like you said zealots before.
Zealots. Wait, so you're talking about, yeah, like you're like Lord Beerus from Dragon Ball Super, where he just travels around and if the food's no good, he just blows up the planet?
Yeah.
No, not necessarily.
Makes sense.
I'm not.
It's just as good a reason to blow it up than any other.
You've accomplished
this
nothing.
Sucks. Yeah, you guys can split the atom, but you can't make a decent pasta dish. Bow! Explode the whole fucking planet.
But if you think about it, like, if you're a race, like, these are some things, again, like, variety is the spice of life. So, like, if you're some sort of, like, race that's above every, like, you know, traverse instantaneous travel and stuff, like, wouldn't it make sense that you're like, hey, well, now we can, you literally have everything. You have different cuisines, you have different entertainment, whatever, for whatever you want, you have infinite, right? Because you have all these, and you go visit, right? And you're like, oh, we're going to go slum it with the humans and eat their fucking little shrimps.
Yeah. Maybe we're like the street food stall. I understand. Yeah. Like, I'll get myself a gyro from Earth.
They're coming here for the guano, man.
Are we like the late night, like, stopover? Like, the aliens get drunk and then they stop here to eat, like, on the way home.
What happens on Earth stays on Earth.
But I'm saying, like, there's probably, again, if you extrapolate what we do on Earth, I would say that, like, if you kind of, you know, extrapolate what we do, things we do on Earth, you could do on a galactic scale. So it's like people who, like, travel places to do, like, hallucinogenics. There's probably, like, intergalactic species that are like, yeah, we do this place, this planet in this solar system, you can get like this fucking ayahuasca and you can't get it other places. You know what I mean? Like,
didn't we make this joke before on one of the shows, but there was like some fucking manzanita bush or something.
That was some rare. That was the Cisco Drove thing is why they came.
Yeah. They're coming here just for that specific bush.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, oh fuck, you smoked this shit. Holy.
I mean, yeah, there's no way to tell like the body chemistry of a different, you know, species at all. You wouldn't really know.
Oh, that's a good point.
You could be so like, it's like Mantine does nothing for us. Something. Like,
yeah. And fucking wine. We give them wine. Like wine is like our bottles of wine is a fucking hallucinogenic for them. They're like, oh, fucking,
like cilantro gets them high or something. I don't know. Just like, yeah.
You know, one time I tried to get high off nutmeg. Terrible.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, sounds like a bad choice.
I think I remember you doing that. It's just like pure dust. You're like eating dust.
Yeah, dude, it was the worst. You put it in milk. I was so sick. And then I woke up in the middle of the night. I was like, I have to go to bed because I'm so sick. And then in the middle of the night, I had a fucking outer body experience.
Well, like what would like aliens come here and like they take away? Like they go to, you know, you go to the zoo, you go to the gift shop. Like what would they pick up from the gift shop? Like jars of Nutella or something? Like, and just like, this is amazing.
They're going to like Bucky's.
Did they get like a little human shaped, like, you know, commemorative, like decorative cup or something? That's just like, I went to Earth and all I got was this crappy cup.
Okay. But like, if you start to, I mean, it's not crazy. You get a cow.
Yeah. Like, do you get like a plush cow or something like that?
You
like,
get a real cow.
What if they're like, what if they're looking at you like, oh, like, if you think of like cows, like domesticated animals, what if they look at cats and like cats are the real masters of the human race? Of the,
well, they think planet. The same with dogs. They're like, look at these fucking dogs ruling everyone's.
Yeah, but no. Shit. It would be cats because like cats, it's like they, no matter what, they live in the house and they don't do anything.
Nothing.
Like dogs will come when you call them. They'll do
cats
stuff.
Will cats randomly will randomly bite you and scratch you for no reason.
Isn't you can right give a you? Dog commands and they'll do stuff. Cats sometimes will do it if they feel like it. And there's been studies where it's like cats understand most of what you're saying and they can understand commands and words. They just don't do it.
It's like, fuck just, you.
Yeah. They just don't want to do it. Yeah. They just choose not to do it. So what if aliens are like, yeah, maybe cats are the real, they're real bosses.
They're not here to study us at all.
Oh, but like, if you think about like, you think about when they come in ships and they like, they buzz our military facilities. Like, does that not sound like what teenagers do here where you go and you fucking like, you know, Nikki
well, it's like us
or
going
someone.
To Area 51.
Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, there's just like, there's a little sense of danger. They're like, if we're stupid, these things could shoot us, but there's not a chance if we're like,
it's like we can't interfere, but we can get pretty close.
Pretty close. Yeah. Like, yeah, it could be something like that. Yeah. The teenagers coming down here and just messing with the cows or whatever, like the animals, you know, it's like the guys who go to the zoo and like they tease the monkeys, you know, they get up at the gorillas and they. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you seen the ones where they show the fucking chimps magic like card tricks?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's us. That's us. Yeah. What them showed up. What?
I don't know what they'd come and take, really. Like, but probably anything and everything. Like, why not? Like,
I wonder. Like, there'd have to be. I would imagine, like we mentioned before, if there's some kind of like overarching like galactic government saying like you can only take so much stuff, you know, you can only take like, it's like going through customs, you can only take like $10,000, whatever.
How long were you away? Over 7 days? All right, $400, that's it.
Yeah. You can only take, you know, you go through galactic customs like on the way out of the solar system or something, and they're like, what do you have on you? What did you bring? You have any food or food or products or whatever?
I mean, well, if you thought about that, if there's some sort of overarching like fucking legal system, intergalactic legal system, it would account for like how a lot of the people who experience aliens and or have alien experiences like very similar, and because like those people are following it by the rules, and then, you know, by the rules of law and what they're supposed to be doing and how they can do it and how they can contact or whatever, and then it would make sense that these outliers are like ones that are like, you know, outlaws, right? And they're just coming down, they're just like, yeah, whatever, I'm going to bang Antonio Villa-Boras. Yeah. I don't care. Yeah, right? That's where we're fucking sex tourists. Right? We're going to Earth. Right. And it's like some back alley shit. Right. Mm. And like, that's, it kind of feels like it with some of them. Cause you get this really uniform experience from a lot of them that, you know, we don't even have to go into detail, you know, the fucking silver tables, the fucking grays, right. Lights. Oh, you get this very scientific feel. Very by the numbers, a lot of those experiences, and then you get fucking
methodical
weird ones. Mm-hmm. People getting zap frozen, intergalactic cowboys shooting their pistol arrows,
filling the sky with lead. I just remember because going back, I mean, the zoo hypothesis is only like, you know, an offshoot of that would be essentially, you know, it's like one of the ideas was like, I remember when we were talking about George Adamski, and Adamski's second book, and he talks to Orthon, he goes and visits Orthon and his buddies later. Like Orthon and a bunch of other guys who are from like Jupiter, Saturn, and a bunch of other dudes. They tell him the actual history of Earth and how Earth is essentially the Australia of the galaxy, because all of the advanced civilizations took their shitty people and they shipped them to Earth and they dropped them off on Earth. And that was like their whole thing. It was like in that book talking about how they just leave them here and periodically they will come and check in on them to see like what they've done, or like if they're just like, hey, I think they give them like an opportunity to like rejoin, but they just like leave them here to just, I don't know, hang out on Earth. Yeah, they just like, yeah, here, we're going to land you on Earth, and you're going to stay here and until you're ready to play nice. Okay. It's always kind of goofy, but it sounds funny. But the there's another one. There's a science fiction series I was reading recently, and it puts forth the idea of how like intelligent species and how we come about. And in this one, it establishes the idea that intelligence is something that has to be like an intelligent species has to be uplifted by another and previously intelligent species. Mm. That intelligence is not something that naturally occurs or is assumed to not naturally occur in the universe. That you have to have another like patron species come to your planet, find a proto intelligent species, and then raise them up. But Earth comes on the scene, and we're like, we throw everything at askew because they're like, wait, you guys are already smart. Like you guys are already kind of, you guys are, you know, going into space. You're doing all these things and this is insane. And you don't have a patron species. This is what?
That's I like that theory because so say there was like a forerunner, like a progenitor species, and they've been uplifting all these species until they finally get to Earth. And they're like, this is the first planet where we haven't done it. So we're like them. We're like the first planet like them right. That evolved on our own.
And then it's like, we have to go out into this. We're joining this universe that's already, you know, we're joining a program that's already in progress where it establishes some of the rules where it's like, if you uplift a species, your patron species is on the hook. Like you have to, they are like indentured to you for like 10,000 years. Like their species that has
you're
to
you're sponsored. It's, you know, it's like bringing in a sponsored worker. They're your responsibility for 2 years, you know?
Yeah.
Anything happens, they go to jail, they don't pay taxes, it's your fault.
So what you're saying is we're going to be working at their fucking space McDonald's?
I feel 100%. Like nobody would want to sponsor us. Like they'd like, no.
That's why we're not off the planet yet.
Yeah, they're like, they saw us like, yeah. You guys want to sponsor the humans? Like, what are they doing down there? Like,
see, the thing with me with that is, I'm like, the thing with the zoo hypothesis that I kind of like always get stuck on is that if you were to believe in this zoo hypothesis or subscribe to it, you kind of have to believe that there is either some sort of like galactic federation of different intelligent species that are kind of maintaining this. Or a singularity species that's maintaining it. And it's like, if it's a single species, then you would think that they're keeping everyone else down. Because like, how is there not another one out there, a rival? It would make sense that they're kind of just keeping everyone in their cages. And if we get too advanced, they're going to snuff us out because they can't have... anyone kind of pushing their presence. And that's
we
a scary thought.
We got there before, Braden. We got pretty close. And what happened about 12,800 years ago or whatever it
is? Flood.
Boom! You think that was an asteroid or a comet fragment? No, they just fucking... We have those satellites now that shoot like what they call it, the rod from God. Like the, it's like a tungsten rod from space and just blows up an entire city, but with no explosion.
Maybe it's not even like intelligence. It's just like life in general. So like life on just planets, like just the diversity is what is individual diversity is in this galactic federation. You'd have to put the assumption that biodiversity is something that is considered like the, you know, whatever, it's the major thing that they value. And then you could be like, this is just cleaning, like, you know, like they just throw an asteroid in there. It's just cleaning the exhibit, like, you know, or like forcing an evolutionary
change. Yeah.
You know, and just be like, man, it's getting a little stagnant. Just check a fucking asteroid.
Chuck a rock in there.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Chuck a cinnabuster in there.
The other thing is, though, so if it's not a singularity species that's keeping everyone else at bay, then it's like a group. And it's like, if you think you were like, imagine like a higher intelligence species made contact with us and we're like, we're going to work together, kind of like you said. If you think about humans' life expectancy, like right now with our technology, like where it's at, it would increase tenfold. You got to think that there would be technology to keep our lives extended far greater than currently, because we've tripled our life expectancy on our own. Is that fair? Like doubled on our own.
The life expectancy is skewed in the sense that if you took out anyone who died before 30, let's say,
if you take out all the poor people.
We take the people who died of disease and stuff, of like stuff we can prevent now. If you survive past all that, you are probably going to live till 70 or 80 for most of human existence.
I think, but in the wild, you died so young.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the wild,
disease and injury.
Well, yeah, that skews it. But I think in the wild, like most large mammals will live until 40 or 50, because it's like, that's usually around the time that you suffer like dental death, like your teeth wear out or get infected.
I think, well, mammals, I mean, I think less than that.
Any of the large apes, like any of the great apes.
Your primate,
like,
yeah,
like great apes, like I think mostly around 50, 60 is like what they do. But we've, yeah, like I said, we're almost doubled.
35 to 60 years.
Yeah.
60.
But they rarely live past 50 in captivity.
Yeah.
Outside of captivity.
Yeah.
So say we meet these things, but they're going to have such technological advances that it's going to increase our lifespan.
That's if they're allowed to share it with us.
No, well, I'm just saying
we're trapped in the zoo right now.
In this scenario, they do. So they share it with us, but then there's someone that's going to be more than them that shares it with them. So if you extract like this in this galactic federation, because there's now a group of highly advanced civilizations that are working together to keep the zoo afloat, you got to think that there's like they've now, it's become this like amalgamation of these civilizations that can span thousands of years, because
millions,
because their life expectancies have just gone through the roofs.
I forgot to mention in that series, they have a thing called like the library, and it's essentially like you have these libraries that are sectioned off, like every species like has like a piece of the library. I don't think any of them have like the full library, but you can like apply and get your species can apply to get like a section of the library, and it's like basically like Wikipedia for the universe. So you would get all of the technology and all of the history that is like of all these other species that have come, you know, innumerable species that have existed, you know, gone extinct or whatever before your species was created, and then you can use that knowledge. But of course, you have to go through all billion years of like history and technology
to find billions.
But in that scenario, it was like every species, pretty much all of their technology was just kind of like slight variations on technology that existed before. Like it's just a derivation of like previous technologies that existed. But humans come up with some weird stuff, and they're kind of like, how do you guys do this? Like, what do you guys like? You know, like we're just coming up with these weird things like how stuff works. And yeah, it was also, and then like it also puts out the idea that it's like we talk about humans being like, you know, the intelligent species, but you have other species that are on the cusp of intelligence, like gorillas, you know, chimpanzees, dolphins, whales, you know, these ones. And it's like I just saw the article the other day that it's like, you know, they've done a couple experiments where they're able to almost hold like 20 minute conversations with a whale, like a humpback whale, using AI. So it's like, if you're able to, like, we're almost able to uplift these things, it's like, you know, are they already intelligent and they just don't feel like doing the stuff that we do?
Or we just, there's no way, like, we just can't fathom how to communicate properly, because of the different ways we live. And that's another problem, is like, there could be a race there. It's like, it'd be like them trying to communicate with us is like us trying to communicate with fucking whales. Ants.
That's the first book of the series that talks about like how we uplift, like essentially how we uplift dolphins. Like humans become the patron species of dolphins, and dolphins get like genetically modified. And
we start riding them. I love this.
We don't ride. We don't.
What?
Ride
them. I thought you said they're slaves.
The they're not our slaves. Dolphins walk out of the water and they fucking take over, man.
But it's interesting the way they portray it, where it's like, yeah, you're trying to communicate with a species that thinks in a completely different way. Like their complete view of the world is like they live underwater, where it's like complete three dimensions. You know, it's like they have to, you know, going up, going down. They communicate mostly in like,
I mean, I would
songs. Like they have songs.
I would
songs
argue
the way they depict things, like song, like the, how they.
I'm gonna blow your mind a little bit. You said dolphins. It's crazy for them because they're underwater. I would say to anyone outside of Earth, like we're kind of technically underwater, just less water. You know what I mean? Like our atmosphere is just less. Humidity. It's less thick.
Less
you know what I mean?
Dense water.
It's less dense water. We're just less water. We're living in less water.
We're all living underwater.
Right. It is technically.
Yeah. We're all.
You think about it.
We're all aquatic.
We're all aquatic. Features. This is all just. We're just under way less
vapor.
Water.
We're under vapor.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still water.
It is a fun. It is a cool series. It's like it is pretty. It's interesting to see how. You know, or think about how we would communicate with other species. Like chimpanzees would be easy because our, you know, our bodies, our, you know, our anatomy, our environments are very much similar in the way that we see the world. But like communicating with another species that lives on the same planet, like lives on the very same planet, but has, you know, evolved in a completely different environment. And although they are still mammals, like, you know, in like our anatomy's kind of still similar, and but they also are completely different, communicating in a language that is both not only like sonic but subsonic. Like they can communicate with, like, you know, with their using echolocation and those kinds of, you know, their evolutionary tools that they kit that they've had. It's it's just really interesting.
Bananas
to think about.
Bananas.
No, it'd be, I mean, it's weird to think about how we would, like, how a species would communicate with us, like, or even like how, you know what I mean, to try to put your mind into something more advanced than us and how they would communicate. And we're like, we're their dolphins, kind of blows my mind. And we're like, what?
Well, I mean, you could take that theory a little bit farther. And this is something I've pondered about a few times after a couple grams of mushrooms. Is that, say you had this forerunner race, like a progenitor race, but they've evolved beyond physical being. They operate on frequency. And maybe they do try and communicate, or they send out communication to us, but we lack the tools to understand or to receive it. Because when we talk about, like, everything is frequency, really. Like matter is just molecules vibrating at frequency, really is what it is, if you really break it down. And you can go all the way. You can go from like radio waves are really long waves, travel a long distance. They can penetrate through pretty much, like, you could get radio in a bunker, really, unless it's like lined with lead or something. And then you move up, you get to like microwaves, infrared, which the waves start to get smaller and smaller. It's still not visible, but you can use those like spectrums to communicate or to like see, like we can develop technology to see in those spectrums. Then you get to like your visible lights, like what we live in. We live in visible spectrum, which is a little sliver of the whole spectrum, right? And then when it gets crazy, you get into like the ultraviolet and like X-ray, gamma rays, like the tiniest little fucking, the tiniest waves. Like we're like nano, like fucking nanometers, like just little fucking tiny things. And we know how to use them and we kind of know what they do, but just imagine like a species has evolved to live as, they're not even physical and they live forever, and to communicate with them is impossible because they operate on a completely different spectrum. Like they're not, like there's not, no matter what, they could try and give us signs. They make
it's like
orbs
your, it's
in
like
the
your
sky
grand,
invisible.
It's like,
right?
Well, that was, it's like grandparents trying to hook up their Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
It's never going to happen.
They just
cannot figure it out. Doesn't matter. They could read it. Could be instructions, 1, 2, 3. They're just never going to understand it.
I think that was I know I've talked about it before, the book Childhood's End, which is very similar to that, where you have a overarching species, like there is a consciousness, a central energy being, which reaches out through the universe, finds intelligent species and brings them into the uplift into the consciousness of the universe or whatever. But since they can't, like Zell said, they can't communicate with us directly, they have to use an intermediary species. So they like created like another, like it's evolution, like something like evolutionary sterile species that cannot evolve, and there are other ones, I think, but they just use a couple of them, and they send them to these planets to prepare them to join. Like these ones will never, like those species that they use are like, they will never be able to proceed past the point like of physical existence, but they are bound to serve the central consciousness to go out and uplift these, prepare these species to join and uplift and show them the way.
Like a little bridge. I like that. I mean, I just always thought of all this, like we live in a tiny, just a little sliver. And if this, some type of like, you call it like a light beam, but a frequency beam that lives just in a little speck of a frequency, but either in really deep or really like fast moving waves or small waves. We just don't, they're sending signals, but we don't have the technology to receive them yet. So not necessarily are we a zoo. We're a zoo in the sense that we just can't get out because we can't communicate with the higher species.
They're out there performing magic tricks and we just don't get it.
We can't decipher them.
Oh, that's a good, I mean, that wouldn't that be the best? That's the best way. Like we talk about like these markers and it's just like they've left all these things to communicate with them. And until you figure out how to communicate with the fucking, the masters, you're not getting out of the cage kind of thing. Like it's, and that's all it is. It's like, we just got to figure out how to communicate.
Yeah. Like, so like some people give them different names, right? Some people give them like angelic, like angels. That's what some people refer to these beings of, like a higher frequency being.
Yeah.
I think Freddie Silva calls them the Watchers, or some other people call them the Watchers. It's like it's the beings above us that we all feel like they're there.
Biblically
but we can't
accurate
prove.
Angels.
Yeah. Do like we feel that they're there and we know like something else must be out there, but we can't see or touch or communicate. So therefore there's no proof. So it's like almost, it's impossible. So, I mean, it's a cool theory, like the zoo hypothesis, just like the aliens are either, they know we're here and they're just watching. They've been watching for a long time, or they've just got here because we've just marked a point in their evolution where we've signaled them to come.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's a planet, like it's a zoo in the sense like they just come to visit just for their fun and they have no intention of ever doing anything for
or they
us.
Don't really care.
They don't give a shit.
Just, yeah, just like,
hey, if they make it off, good for them, but we're not gonna do nothing. Yeah. We like to come here. We like to get stoned off grapes, and then we fuck off.
Or yeah, we're that small little forest that like they just need to blow up to make their galactic superhighway and disregard us and all.
They're just here, just measuring, just getting ready to annihilate the planet.
Like, you have so long and thanks for all the fish. Like,
right, or we haven't evolved enough to be equipped with the tools to communicate with a species at a higher intelligence. Kind of like us to ants, right? Ants are intelligent in the sense that, you know, they are like amazing builders and they communicate and they form like these colonies, then everyone has a job and they're, in that sense, they're super intelligent. But that's all they can do. They'll never, like, they've are not equipped to evolve farther than that. Unless we go in as we're their, like, the grandfather race, and we pick up an ant and we like alter its DNA, and now it's an actually like intelligent fucking.
Now I can paint the Mona Lisa,
which would be a terrible idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all of a sudden they grow to 10 times the size. They're ants the size of your fucking forearm.
Yeah. I read a there was a comic about that. They made super intelligent ants and they just ate everybody.
Yeah, it's not terrible. A good idea.
It's never a good idea.
It's a bad idea.
Exoskeleton, you can't, like our weapons don't even
They're
work.
So strong. They're so strong. Like by like to like size to strength ratio, they're insanely strong.
They're the strongest animal, are they not?
Terrifying.
It'd be like the equivalent of us carrying a house over our head, just like picking it up and just walking around.
No, I don't want any of that.
Can't do it. But yeah, it's a really cool theory. I don't know. Is there any other theories that we missed?
I don't think so. I think we
The Zeus hypothesis is just its own kind of thing.
It's this little sliver of the why, if there's aliens out there, the Fermi paradox.
Yeah. And there's a lot of, I know I mentioned a couple, but there's a lot of good books and there's a lot of good like science fiction TV shows and stuff that are based off of that. I remember in middle school, we read the Twilight Zone. We did like a class read along of the Twilight Zone episode, the Monsters Are Due on Maple Street. And that's a phenomenal episode of the Twilight Zone. And everybody should go watch that. It's kind of based off of it. It plays on the zoo hypothesis, but people should watch it. It's amazing. I mean, the Twilight Zone itself is great, but that one is a really stellar episode and people should watch it. I think it's just a really fascinating idea that we have represented a lot of authors and directors have represented the idea. And it's like, there's a lot of good interpretations out there and people should check them out.
Yeah. It's really cool. The whole Fermi paradox. And I'll just like in like the just why haven't we seen anything, or we have seen something and someone's covering up. There's really the two trains of thought, right? Aliens are here, they've been here, and we just don't have the evidence publicly to say that they're here. But someone knows, or a few know, or they know we're here, and they're just not going to show themselves for whatever reason.
Yeah, or their cow plushies.
We've talked about different theories like the dark forest. Like we're sending all these signals out. We shouldn't be. It's just a matter of time before someone.
It's METI, meet and extra. It's not search for extra.
Yeah, SETI. Stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's METI, which is like we've talked about them before. The
yeah, they're mess. They're
messaging extraterrestrials.
Yeah,
and they're shooting out.
Shooting out.
And people are like, not a bad idea.
Because it's been 50 years.
Yeah, but like how far would I don't know. We talk about radio signal attenuation. Like I don't even know if it get that far enough. You know?
I looked into this before, and in order to like pick up a radio signal, say our most powerful radio antenna, radio whatever, shot straight out towards a planet, and then say it's 50 light
years. Like Alpha Centauri, right? Like sure. Proxima Centauri is like the closest
one. So what's that, like 5 light years or something? 6 light years? It's the closest
six
one.
Or 8 or something, yeah. Like.
So you still need a shot it at them. You would need a radio telescope in equivalent to the distance. There's like a ratio of the distance to the radio wave. So you need like a radio telescope the size of like from here to the moon.
Yeah, like a receiver dish the size of like a continent.
Or like an array of dishes, which if they're super advanced, you might have just like across the solar system, like array of dishes, and they all get a little bit of the information and put it together.
Just relays it.
And then they builds it in like a kind of like a grid. Like, oh, that one got a little piece. This got a little piece. Oh, it all came at this time. Oh, therefore we know. Oh, they're fucking watching Golden Girls. Cool.
Yeah. Let's watch Golden Girls. Let's do that.
Like, that's what they say. Like, that shows from the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
Are like the first ones that were kind of.
Yeah. And then they get Jersey Shore and it blows their mind. They're like, holy fuck. This is Earth.
This is Earth. On this season of Earth.
EDM and fucking.
You got the 90s rave music, the start of raves.
Incredible.
Blowing their minds. It's cool. That's a fun little theorizing episode. Yeah. I like
the zoo. Welcome to the zoo.
Talking that kind of shit. Welcome to the zoo. That's the title. There it is.
Yeah. Welcome to the zoo, baby. Ooh, that eggnog fucking. Melting my guts. Oh, yeah.
Mm. Should try some with Mountain Dew.
Yeah. No, I'm good.
Anyways, I think we got a couple new Patreon supporters.
Oh, snap.
So now we got, well, let's do a quick reminder. Don't fucking sign up for Patreon on an iPhone. Don't go through the App Store. Mm-mm. Because
don't
what's going to happen.
Apple your money.
It's going to, we had to select something that says it's going to auto upcharge you. the equivalent of what Apple takes. It's just going to pay more and we get the same. It's not worth it. What you got to do is to sign up on a desktop computer, mm-hmm. and then you can still use Patreon on your phone without paying the extra fees. That's the workaround.
Can you just do it on your browser on your phone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You so can Patreon.com. Just don't
sign up through the App Store.
No App Store. Fuck the App Store.
Fuck the
App Store. Once you sign up, then you can download the app.
Yeah, once you've logged in, as long as you don't pay on Apple, it's like if you pay, it's the same for every app. If you pay for a Google Premium on Apple, the charge comes to your credit card is Apple, and Apple takes a cut from Google. It's, they do it to everyone because they say that their App Store is so popular and so big that the 30% is worth it to have your app on there. Which obviously it is because everyone is fucking on there and everyone's paying 30%. Except for us. Mm-hmm. We're going to bypass that.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Stick it to them.
You go to alientheorist.com, hit the support tab. You could also just sign up on Supercast. You don't get the Patreon app. You can just listen as normal. Same
thing. And as you're listening, when you're listening to this, all the tiers are updated, baby.
Yep.
Yep. We'll explain more to the current supporters in After Hours, but pretty much there's some stuff offered that we kept forgetting to offer. So we changed it up for some merch rewards.
First drops.
Continued support. You get
you get a little gift.
Shipped right to you.
Right to you.
Exclusive Patreon merch.
Boom.
Anyways, we got Kurt Butterfield, Rachel Williams, Zachy D163, Lewis Automotive. Search for Lewis Automotive on Google. See, I'm not sure where they are. But,
Was that the name? His name is
Lewis Automotive signed up for Patreon.
I thought his name was Lewis Automotive. Search Lewis Automotive on Google. I was like, what a genius name.
Fucking bad.
Is it like the whole mechanic shop? Like
said, we got William W.
Zell's reading a 30-second ad.
FU, and we got Lainid Night Sky supporting the show. Thank you very much. We fucking appreciate it.
Ooh. Fantastic.
Cheers. And listen, as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies.
See you in After Hours.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. We'll be right back.